Yutes, Herkutes, right there, Yutes.
Oh,
okay, let's go, let's go.
Herkutes,
Pascalov, by Yirgaz, yeah. By Yirgaz, Amalav, Ayala, Aliyat, Ashar. The king was angry. Now, what had just happened? Absalom was just killed.
Huh.
That's what had just happened. Absalom was just killed. And not only that, remember Achimatz, the son of Tzedek, I believe it was Tzedek or Gesser, I can't remember which one, had run ahead to be able to go ahead and go right over there. Yeah. Right? So he had gone ahead.
You see that word?
Yeah.
How do you pronounce it?
Oyvei?
Oyvei?
Oh, that's so
cute.
Like,
you're
cute.
I was like,
you're
what?
So cute. Absolutely so cute. Either way, so it says, so what ended up happening was...
You okay, joke.
So, what ended up happening was he ran over to go tell David HaMelech. He told David HaMelech, but he didn't say anything about Avshalom. He refused to say anything about Avshalom. And remember, there was the Cushi. The Cushi ran ahead as well. And the Cushi immediately told David HaMelech, thinking that David would be happy that Avshalom was killed. And he said, yeah, your enemies were killed, so too should all of your enemies be. And right, that's what happened. So now we're starting this after David HaMelech heard about it. But here goes HaMelech, Vayalal Yasashar. The king was upset. He got up to the top area by the gate, by Yev, and he cried. Now remember, this is not the palace. He's in the city called Machanoim. He's sitting by a certain area, and he goes up to the gate, and he cried. He didn't want to cry publicly. He didn't want to cry in front of the other people. Nobody should see the king crying. But he wanted to go up to a private place. He lamented the whole way up. The whole Rebbe left. This is what he said as he went up. Bini Avshalom. Bini, Bini Avshalom. My son Avshalom. My son Avshalom. Mi yitei musi ani tachtecha Avshalom. Bini, Bini. Who would allow me to die instead of you, Avshalom? My son. My son. Now there's a famous line over here. You obviously notice what he said over here. It says, Bini, Bini, Bini. And then Bini, Bini. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Later on, he's going to say the word Bini 2 more times. It's in Pasuk Hey. He's going to say the word Bini 2 more times over here. He says Bini altogether 7 times. And then somewhat, there's an, oh, I'm sorry, 8 times. Bini, Avshalom, Avshalom, Bini, Bini. So then 3 times over here. 8 times. The reason why is because, number one, David HaMelech understood that the reason why everything was happening over here is because he was being punished for Bathsheba. He had done something wrong with Bathsheba, and he knew that Avshalom's death was because of Bathsheba. So he said, God, if only I would die instead of Avshalom, why should he be punished because of
Bathsheba.
Me? Oh wow, no, it dropped out. But then why should he be punished because of me? To take him out of the 7th level of Gehenna. The 7th level of Gehenna, all the way down, was 7 times. 7 times he said the word Bini. And then to bring him into Olam Haba was an 8th time when he said the word Bini. He said an 8th time altogether. And that's what he ended up doing over here. Now, that, by the way, he did kill the Cushi. The Cushi gave him the news that Avshalom was there. He motioned one of his men and he told him that he should die. And that was that. So that's what he ended up going over here. Pasuk Beis. By Yugad LeYoav, Hine HaMelech Bochav, Yisavu Avshalom. It was told to Yoav and he said, behold, the king is crying. He's mourning over Avshalom. Now, Yoav is also mourning. Although Yoav is the one who killed Avshalom, nonetheless, he was a friend of Avshalom's. Remember, he's the one that brought Avshalom back to the palace in the first place. But you have to understand something. There's something that David HaMelech must have passed over here. Avshalom was a Morid B'Malchus. He rebelled against the king. Okay, if you rebel against the king, you have no ability to mourn that person. Avelus is not mechuyev whatsoever. There is no chiyuv in Avelus. So now we have to understand something. How could he have mourned for Avshalom? It says Vayis Abel, that he literally had Avelus. Why was he mourning over him? It must be he did not consider his son deserving of the death penalty from Morid B'Malchus. Why? This is what David HaMelech held. When he was running away from Avshalom, he did not have the status of a king. Which is an amazing line. But we're going to see that's why he does not punish Shimi ben Gera either. He didn't feel he had the status of a king. Now he has the status of a king, so he ran away. But he didn't have the status of a king. That salvation on that day turned into a mourning for all the people. Everybody heard saying that the king is sad about his son. The people were very, they like stole into the city. They came in like quietly. As if people that were shamed when they ran away at war. But that's how they came in as well. The king concealed his face. He closed off his face. He wouldn't let anyone see him. He cried out with a great voice, Bini Avshalom, Avshalom, Bini, Bini. Again, 3 times again to get to 8 times all together. That's what ended up happening over here. Pasuk Vav. Yoav came to the king to the house. You have brought shame today to the faces of all of your servants. prophets, Hamem Maltim et Nafshecha Ayom, who have saved you today, Nef Nefesh Banecha Ubnoseka, and the souls of all your children, your sons and your daughters, Nefesh Nashecha of all of your wives, and Nefesh Nashecha of all of your concubines. All these people, they were saving you from the death that Avshalom wanted to bring you. Avshalom was not going to have mercy on you. He was going to kill you. And now, you're shaming them by crying over your son who they just saved you from.
I think he was right. I think Yoav was right.
Hold on. You are showing love to your enemies, but listen to what's all about. You're showing hatred toward your friends. You are showing today that you have no officers and no servants. I know today, if only Avshalom were alive, we would all be dead. He would kill all of us. He would not have let us live. And that would have been right in your eyes. It's better for Avshalom to be alive and for all of your servants to be dead. You wouldn't be crying over us the way you're crying over Avshalom. Now there's no question that he hit the nail on the head. But can you say that to the king? Is Joab allowed to say that to the king? He told the king originally, rebuked them and said, right, your despondency, your sadness is causing them to be sad. You're making them think that they lost the war. You're making them think that they made the wrong decision. They should have been on Avshalom's side, not on your side. You're not helping them whatsoever. So that's that. So again, and there's more than just that. Your children are going to feel scorned. Your children are going to feel that they're being rejected by you when they found out that they're bitterly mourning the death of their brother. Grab one from right there. So there should be an English right there. I think there's one. The blue one? Maybe in that one. Right over there. Do you have one from over there?
There should be one there.
See, on this one? Is there? Wait, small bees. Is there?
Yes.
God. God work. No. Yeshivas. So here we go. So then it said, right? It said, we have Pusik Zion. You have not missed that much over here. Pusik really sucks over here. But he said, aside from that, your children are going to feel rejected. You're choosing Avshalom over all of them. Shlomo Melech is right here. Shlomo, the next king in Klal Yisrael, is sitting right here, and they're all sitting there, and you're going in and doing this and that and the other. What's wrong with you? Finally, after all that, your wives and your concubines. Remember, Avshalom slept with 10 of them. Shalom's up to 10 of them. You're showing them. They're expecting you to avenge their honor. And you're going around and you're doing this. You're showing as if there's nothing wrong, as if Avshalom didn't do anything wrong. He violated your wives. And this is what you're doing. That was Yoav's cluster. No. Yeah.
What you were saying before about, did he have any right? In theory, based on his, like, I wouldn't say, like, any Joe Schmo can do that, but based on his position, it kind of was his job to tell the, to kind of build morale.
You are correct, except for one major thing. You still can't talk to the king this way. There's easier or better ways to do this. Rebuke the king when he's in mourning over his son. Okay, that's not the way to do it. Now get up and go. You don't say that to the king. Speak to the hearts of your servants. Because in God, by God, I swear, if you don't go out, there won't be one man that stays with you tonight. That's going to be the worst thing for you. Every man in Israel is going to reject you and ditch you as the king. And then the kingdom of David HaMelech is gone. That's what's going to happen. Every single person was there. The whole time, David HaMelech did not say a thing. He did not argue with Yoav. He understood what Yoav was saying. He did not say one word. The king got up. He sat at the gate. And to all the people, they informed him, saying, the king is sitting at the gate. Oh, he's no longer crying. All the people came in front of the king, and Bnei Yisrael, Nas, Yisrael, Allah, all of Bnei Yisrael ran each to his tent. Now, the question is what that means. That meant each man ran to his tent to get his family to come to David HaMelech, or did that mean the rebellion all went home, knowing that there was nothing else that they were going to do? Either way, David HaMelech went out, even in the top, all of his misery and everything that he had, he was willing to show them what was going to be. He was so angry. As we're going to see, he takes Yoav down from his position and puts Amasa in his place. Amasa was the chief general of Avshalom's army. But he takes Amasa and puts him there. All the men of Bnei Yisrael, they all judged themselves. They argued with one another, saying, listen, the king saved us from the hands of our enemies. He also saved us from the Pelishtim. And now he's running away from Avshalom. They wondered about it. They're like, wait a second. David HaMelech is an unbelievable warrior. He's fought all these wars, and he's won everything. He's never lost a war. Why did he run away from Absalom? They didn't say, like, he ran away from Absalom, so he's a weakling. They said, he ran away from Absalom. There's something wrong here. Absalom, Hashem, Ashachnu Aleinu, Absalom, who we had anointed upon ourselves, Mesma Mohammed, he's dead in war. So why are we so silent to return to the king? We understand now why David Melech did. We thought that David Melech was maskim, and that's why he ran away. We thought that David Melech thought that Absalom was more powerful, and that's why we thought that everybody should be on Absalom's side. We thought Absalom had more power. That's what we thought. But we were wrong. That's absolutely wrong. We understand that the reason why David Melech ran away is to stop the war, to make sure that he wouldn't fight Absalom, said they were there. So we now realize that David Melech is a great person, that we really should have been on his side the entire time. They realized their mistake. They figured out what was wrong. The king then sent to Tzadok and Yasser and Pasuk Yud
Beis. Were all these people that are saying this?
All the people that were on Absalom's side, who had sided with Absalom during this war, were all against David Melech. They all realized.
Okay, so why were they put to death?
We're going to see. But their line was, is that, first of all, it was a lot of people. Second of all, their line was, they said, listen, we made a mistake. We realized, they finally realized on their own, without David Melech there, because remember, David Melech is still a Machanoyim. They realized on their own, this was dumb. So look what they do. So he called out to Tzadok and Abiyasar to the Kohen of Lamor. Gavru el Zikne Yehuda Lamor. Speak to the elders of Yehuda saying, Lamas you Achronim Lahashim Esam Melech. Why are you last to come back to the king Elbezo, to his house, to Devarkol Yisrael, Bala Melech Elbezo, and the word of all Bnei Yisrael has come to the king, to his house. In other words, Bnei Yisrael are already starting. They're coming back to me. Bnei Yisrael was starting. They crossed the Jordan River. They met up with David, and they told him, you are our king. Achayatem, Atmiu Vesariatem, you are my brothers, he said to Yehuda. You are my flesh and blood. Why are you last to come back to the king? Now, he went to the Kohanim, because the Kohanim were peacemakers. David wanted Yehuda to know, I know you guys sided with Absalom. I know you guys were on Absalom's side when he first came back to Yerushalayim. I'm okay with this. I'm okay. Because you weren't rejecting me. You were taking in Absalom, thinking that Absalom is the brand new king. Remember, we also have the Nebuah of Nelson and Navi. We can't forget that Nebuah, which was publicized. That Nelson and Navi told everyone that Absalom, or somebody, is going to rebel against the king. They might have thought that the rebellion would work. Maybe they thought that that was going to happen. David Melech was punished for Bathsheba, and Absalom was going to take over. So they mamish thought they were following a Nebuah. Is there any reason?
So it's not possible that they're going to the town that, yeah, they realize they're wrong because they realize alternatives, they'll be beheaded or something.
Well, we'll see. Hold on. There still is a faction that's not with David. We'll see in next chapter. Ula Masa Tomru. And to Amasa, you should say the following. By the way, notice Tomru is sort of, it's word mar. This advice was bitter for Amasa and eventually caused Amasa's death. And Pasuk Yud Dalet. Hello, Atmiu Besoria Tom. Aren't you my flesh and my bones and my flesh? May God do this to me and more. You are now my general instead of Yoav. Takes down Yoav for what he had said to him earlier, and he takes down Yoav and he allows Amasa to be in his place. Now listen to that. He took Amasa from Absalom's army and put him in Yoav's place, who had run away with him away from Absalom. That's unbelievable. But he wanted no opposition. It's possible that he did just because he didn't want any opposition whatsoever. Number two, right, he wanted to show Yoav that he was upset at him at what he had just done. Nonetheless, this is not good for Amasa. Amasa ended up being killed by Yoav. Next pasuk, Tesvot. Vayat es levav kol ish Yehuda ki ish echad. All the hearts of all of Bnei Yehuda, like one man, they all turned toward David. Vayishu lo amelech shuvat tzav kol amedecha. Return, you and all of your servants. Vayishu amelech vayavo ad yardim. The king returned, who came to the Yardim, the Yehuda Ba Gilgala. Yehuda came all the way to Gilgal, Lelechus, to cross the Melech, to greet the king, Lehavir, the Melech of the Yardim, to cross him over to the Yardim itself. Remember, Gilgal, right in that area, was the area right on the west side of the Yardim River where the Jews camped right after they crossed the Jordan River. What's up?
Do you think that they were really sincere in taking him back?
I'm telling you, just wait. Okay. Just wait. Obviously not, because of what's going to happen in the next paragraph.
How wasn't Amasa just killed for being the general of Shalom's army?
Hamlin. Yeah, he wasn't after him. You gotta remember, you don't win people over by killing people. That's not how you win people over. Not by taking revenge. I understand the idea behind it. If you do that, you're showing how powerful you are. David HaMelech is a massive warrior. He's won enough wars. He's 68 years old right now. There's no reason for him to cause more strife and problems and contention in Klal Yisrael than there already was.
But we talk about so much about Mori B'Malchus. This is Mori B'Malchus.
No, and that's what I said before. He didn't consider himself a king, David HaMelech. That's why he mourned Avshalom, because when he left Yerushalayim, he held, he no longer had the status of a king. And that's why this pasuk comes into play. Pasuk Yudayim. By an heir, Shimi ben Gera. Remember Shimi ben Gera? Shimi ben Gera is the one that was stoning David HaMelech and cursing him when he left Yerushalayim. He hurried Benyamini, the Binyaminite, Asher Mibachurim from the area of Bachurim, Yerid and Yehuda. He went down with the men of Yehuda, Likras HaMelech David, in order to greet David HaMelech. The Elef Yishimo, he brought 1,000 men with him, Binyamin, from Sheva Binyamin. The Tziva, Nar Beis Shol. Remember Tziva? The young man of Beis Shol, the master, the servant of Mephibosheth, the Chamesh Tzor Banav, and 15 of Tziva's sons. That's a nice one of kids. The Esrim Avod of Ito, and 20 servants with him. Metzokol Yardin with Ne'amelech. And they all crossed over the Jordan River in order to greet the king. You know why they went to the Avar Yardin? It's an amazing line. Shimon ben Gera held when he ran away from Yerushalayim and went to the Avar Yardin. David HaMelech had no status of a king until he came back to Yerushalayim. When he crossed over the Jordan River and he went into Eretz Yisrael, then he was the king again. Until that point, he wasn't king. Which meant a melech cannot be mofa on his cover. A melech cannot forgive somebody for doing something wrong to him. But if he's on the other side of the Jordan River, he can be mofa somebody. So Shimi ben Gera ran to the other side of the Jordan River in order to get forgiven so that nothing would be, nothing, you know, so you would be forgiven right over there. I have a knack in my room. You grab one of the green ones that's sitting right in my room.
What?
That's what he did. That's where he ran over here. Tziva as well wanted to please. Here we go. The Avra Ha'avaro, Lavir is based on Melech. So the ferry crossed over to bring over the king's household. The last that told the Einav and to do what's good in his eyes. The Shimon ben Gera Nuffel of Namel of Avra B'Yardin. Shimon ben Gera fell in front of the king right before he crossed over the Jordan River. Shimon Gera's right there. Of what?
He went over the...
He crossed over the Jordan River.
This is when he ran away.
David HaMelech was already, he's in Machanayim, he's trying to get that. Shimon ben Gera ran over to him to get him to forgive him there while he's still not king. Because if he's king, then he can't be Mokel Shimon ben Gera. Shimon ben Gera is going to die. That's what he said. So he ran over in order to do that. Yomar HaMelech, and he said,
Who said that?
Yeah. He said to the king, Al Yakshav Li Adoni Avon. Please, my master, do not consider this for me a sin. Do not remember the evil of your servant on this day that he went out, my master the king went out from Yerushalayim, Asum Melech Olivo. The king should not take it to heart. So when you ran away, don't take it to heart. Your servant knows that I have sinned. Right? And therefore I come today in front of all the house of Yosef to come down to greet my master the king. That's why I'm here over here. Okay, that's what he said. Now notice something over here. He said specifically today. In other words, why are you saying it today while you're on the other side of the Jordan River? And he said, on that day when I cursed you out, on that day you weren't a king, on that day you didn't have the status of a king because you ran away from your palace. That's the reason why I'm not Mori B'Malchus, so I'm not Chayiv Misa. Shimon ben Gera was a tremendous Talmid Chacham and a tzaddik who had 1,000 Talmidim. Those are the 1,000 boys that he brought with him. He wasn't just stunned. He was paskening lehalacha that you weren't a king, and that's why I was allowed to do it and I'm not considered Mori B'Malchus. Don't worry. David HaMelech eventually takes revenge against Shimon ben Gera, but he doesn't take it during his life.
Wait.
3 years later, Shimon ben Gera is killed.
Would you say Shimon just found a technicality to disrespect David, and like he kind of like...
Again, he knew the Nebuah of Nathan and Abi, so he allowed that, plus the halacha that he held, that he was no longer king, to be able to say something to David.
Yeah, but I'm saying he did it specifically just because, oh, I found a bunch of loopholes. I can do this, so I'm going to do this.
Could
not
be.
More of that he actually felt like...
Could be. It could be that Shimon ben Gera held that the whole reason why David Malch was punished was not because of Bathsheba, but because he had taken over Shaul Malch's kingdom. Maybe that's what he held. Remember, we're looking at it in hindsight, where we know that David HaMelech was chosen. Shimon ben Gera was living at the time, he was living in Binyamin.
It was a big question.
And he saw it as, well, I don't know. Maybe David HaMelech's king, maybe he shouldn't be. I don't know. How am I supposed to know that? By the way, what did he mean by, I'm the first of all base Yosef? Shimon Ben-Gera came from Binyamin, not Yosef. So what does that mean? So he means just like the brothers Yosef forgave the brothers when they did something wrong, so too he did the exact same thing. So too you could say the following. He says, everybody's waiting and everybody's listening to see how you respond to me. Are you going to kill the people when you come back or not? Are you going to be angry or not? Okay? If you treat me with kindness, the rest of Bnei Israel will know that you'll forgive them as well and they'll all come back to you. So treat me first and everything should be good later on. And that's the idea of what he was trying to say. Avishai, remember Avishai? Avishai ben Tsruya, when they were running away, when that happened, Avishai ben Tsruya was the one who got up and said, let's kill Shimon ben Gera right now. So he gets up, Ayomer, Hasachas dos lo yumas Shimon ki kilos Mashiach Hashem. For this, Shimon ben Gera shouldn't die. He's cursing. He cursed the anointed one of God. I mean, how could you do that? How could he do that? He should be killed for that. Ayomer David, ma leave alachem ben Tsruya. Calm down. Calm down. You're going to be a sultan for me today? What, today you think somebody should die? I know that I'm the king of Israel today. Shimi will die. He's just not going to die today. You're not going to die. I swear to you in my lifetime, you're not going to die. Some say that the real reason why he did this is because of a kapara. He thought that this would be the final kapara. Okay? Today I am king. Part of the atonement was to know, right, that during that time I was not king. Another says that he saw something in Shimon ben Gera. Shimon ben Gera was going to have a child that was born. And who is that child? I shouldn't say a child. A great, 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 great grandchild.
Mordecai.
That's correct. And that's what he knew, and that's why. So there's no way I'm going to do that. Wouldn't it be Moshe's been sold? Now everybody's coming back. No, he hasn't been born yet. So far we got what? We've got all the men of Yehuda, all the men of Yisrael. We got Moshe. We got Siva. And then we have, what's his name? We have Amasa, as well as right now Shimon ben Gera, all coming back. Wouldn't it be Moshe's been sold? Yordle Cross Melch. I'm Mithi Moshe's. You notice this? Ben Shaul. He wasn't the son of Shaul, he was the son of Yonasan. But David Mel considered him the son of Shaul, that he hated him, just like Shaul hated him. Because Mephibosheth at the time, remember, Siva told him that Mephibosheth is not on Shalom's side. Yored Likosamel, below Asa Raglov, he had not washed his feet, Lo Asa Swamo, and he had not shaved. Yes, Begad of Lochibes, he had not washed his clothing, from the day that the king left until the day that he came back in peace. Okay, so why didn't he do that? Obviously, he was in mourning over David. When he came to Jerusalem, the king also greeted the king. The king said to him, Mephibosheth, why weren't you with me? I treat you with such respect. You're my best friend's son. How could you have done this to me? So he said, Adonia Melech, Abdi Rimani, my master the king, my servant, right? Remember, Tziva, tricked me. I said, right? Your servant said, meaning I said, saddle my donkey. The Erkabalai, I will ride it. The Elech HaSamelech, and I'll go with the king. He'd be saying, because I'm lame. I can't do it myself. Mephibosheth had no use of his legs. He said, do it for me. Not only that, but your servant, Siva, was slandering me in front of my master, the king. My master, the king, should be like an angel of God. Do whatever is good in your eyes. You don't have to believe me if you don't want to. But I swear to you, I had no way out. I was lame. Siva left me at home with nothing to do. I had no one that was able to help me. Now, that wasn't entirely true. The problem was that Mephibosheth could have, in theory, asked somebody else to help him. Yeah. Obviously, if somebody's feeding him, somebody's around, he could have just said somebody else. But Mephibosheth didn't do that. So David Melch knew something was up. Something was wrong. He didn't think that Mephibosheth was against him, but he also didn't think that Mephibosheth was totally for him. And he wasn't sure. He looked. What did Mephibosheth say? All the people of my father's household are dead men for my master the king. You allowed me to eat at your table. What further right do I have? And I should call out to the king and ask for anything else. Yeah, what's up?
No, I'm just thinking that wouldn't it look kind of strange, like Siva goes, Shimon ben Gera doesn't really know, Siva just went ahead to go get him the stuff, so why would he go ask somebody else, go chase it, let's go chase after him, let's like, kind of look strange, like Siva pulls up and then like, an hour later, Mephibosheth showed.
Oh, Mephibosheth. No, not an hour later. Siba went all the way to the other side of the Jordan River.
Hey.
Mephibosheth went to when he was in Yerushalayim because he was living in Yerushalayim.
I'm referring to when Siba went to go deliver the goods and to and said, isn't that what we're referring to?
Yeah.
When Mephibosheth said, he tricked me, he left without me. I don't think Mephibosheth really thought necessarily that, oh, he's going to badmouth me and Jesus.
There's no way he thought that, but nonetheless.
He's supposed to go chase after him. I just came to show my support, even though I'm lame. And
clearly, Siva just asked to go on a horse, and Mephibosheth asked to go on a horse, and Siva said no. Something's wrong, and Mephibosheth should have seen that coming.
No.
Definitely should have done. But Yomelo Melech, Lomit Zidaber Odvarach, why do you still speak? Okay, Amarti Atav and Siva Tachalkulis Asodah. I already said you and Siva are going to divide up the field. In other words,
No go.
Okay? You and Siva are going to divide up the field. Siva's not going to take the whole thing by himself, but I'm going to let you divide it because I don't know who to believe. You have some things wrong, Siva has some things wrong. You should take everything. All I care is that you came back to your house. That's the idea behind it. Some say that Mephibosheth said it in a very, mocking tone. Do you really think that I would go? It just didn't sound right in front of the king, and therefore, that was that. Okay. Ubarzilai Hagiladi Yared Meru. Remember, Barzilai Giladi, he's the one that financed the entire trip to the other side of the Jordan River. He gave him a ton of food. Barzilai Giladi came down from Roglim. At Vayabor as a Melech HaYarden, he was there when the king was crossing over the Jordan River, Lashalko HaYarden, to send him over the Yarden. Now, Giladi, he was from Gilad. That meant on the other side of the Jordan River, meaning in Jordan. That's where he was. Barzilai Zakin Ma'od, he was very old. Then Shmonim Shani, he was 80 years old. Now, Zakin, maybe. Ma'od? Not at 80. 80 is not Zakin Ma'od. But Zakin is good enough, right? But the reason why he was called Zakin Ma'od is because he was very promiscuous. And because of his promiscuousness, he became older very quickly. That's what Chazal say about Barzilai Agiladi. That variant is nus. He had supported the king when he went to Machanayim. Kiish Gadol Ma'od. He was a very, very wealthy man. Listen, come with me, and I'll support you in Yerushalayim. You supported me when I had to run away. I'll support you if you come to Yerushalayim. Listen, how long am I going to live? Said Barzilai. Ki alel amelech es amelech Yerushalayim. That I should go with the king to Yerushalayim. Then Shmonim Shana Anochi Ayom Ha'ida Ben Tov L'Ra. I'm 80 years old today. Do I know the difference between good and evil? In Yitam Avdecha Es Asher Ochal. Do you think I really have taste for anything that I eat? Esher Esha, what I drink. In Eshma Od Bekol Sharon Vesharos. Do you think I can really hear the voices of the good singing, the men and the women singers? Lomi Avdecha Od Lamasa Lazini Melech. Why should I be a burden to my master the king? Lots of real crazy stuff over here. Sharos are woman singers. This is one of the mutter to listen to woman singers. Shows you that Barzilai Giladi was into a lot of taivas. That's number one. That he was into listening to that. And that's why, by the way, we don't paskin that you can listen to woman singers. You think this is a straight out riot. How can I listen to the sharam and the sharos? You follow? Okay. So that's that. But that's that. But the idea is Barzilai is saying, what do you want me for? You want me to give you counsel? You want me to give you advice? I can't give you advice. I have no clear thinking anymore. I don't have that ability. I can give you money, but that's about it. Barzilai said, let me die with my children. I'll live in over yard, and I'll die over here with my kids all around me and everything will be good. Kimat, Yabor Abdul Khaz Yard. Listen, you're about to cross over the Yarden River as a melech. Lami Yigmaleni Amelech Agmul Atos. You don't have to repay me like this. Yashavna Abdukha, right? So I beg you, let me return. But almost beer, let me die in my city in Kever, I'll be in the Kever of my father, the Emi and my mother. Mini Abdukha Kimahom Yavor Imagini Amelavasi Lord Sashir Tov Bainacha. Listen, your servant Kimon, that's my son, let him go with you. He'll do whatever is good in your eyes. Treat him well. And he sent his son over instead. That's a great name. Kimon should come with me. And he asked the Lord, I'll do whatever you want. Call your Tikwalai SLO. And whatever you ask me to do, I'll do for you. And they all cross over the Jordan River. The king kissed Barzillai, gave him a bracha, and then afterwards he returned to his place and he went back whatsoever.
I'm just confused. What was this whole point of this whole meeting with Barzillai? Barzillai came down to do what? He
disagreed with him. He had been the one. Yeah, he had been the one who supported him completely.
Yeah, but what? Like, he gives him his, like, he said, take my son as a servant. That's what.
No, king said, I'll do anything you want. You supported me, I'll support you. Barzillai said, I don't want to go with you. I'm too old. I'm not going anywhere. But take my son. Support him.
Okay.
That's it.
So his son just basically got a nice house in Jerusalem.
Nice house in Ir David. Vayavora melech ha-Gilgal. So the king went over by Gilgal. V'kimon of Arimo, v'kol Am Yehuda, v'haviru as melech. They brought, so all of Am Yehuda, they brought over the king, v'gamchat Yam Yisrael, and half of Bnei Yisrael. V'nei kol Yisrael, v'yim alech, all Bnei Yisrael came to the king. V'yomro lo melech, madu agnavucha achenu ish Yehuda, v'haviru as melech, as beis lati yardim, v'kol anshi David Yimbo. I don't understand. Why is Yehuda going? Yehuda came after us. We're the ones who should cross you over, not the Bnei Yehuda. Why should they be the ones who are crossing you over? Why do they get any preferential treatment? So the Yankol Yehuda al Yish Yisrael. The men of Yehuda answer Bnei Yisrael. Ki karav amelach elai. Listen, he's a relative of mine. Lo mazeh korah lofal adavar adzeh. Why are you angry about this? Hakol chalim in amelachim nishes nisa lanu. Understand? Has he given us food? Has he pardoned us? What's the big deal? Said Yehuda. What's the big deal? It's not that big of a deal over here. Okay, we're on the king's side right now. Bnei Yisrael is sitting there saying, listen, they're the ones that rebelled against you. They're the ones that were on Avshalom's side. Why are they the ones to take you over? They should be the last ones to take you over. Sort of like what Eddie was saying before. You know, kill them all. Why are you letting them go around? Someone's like, calm down. And the Bnei Yehuda are like, calm down. All right? Just calm down. Mayan Ish Yisrael is imposing men down. Tan Yisrael Ish Yehuda. The men of Yisrael answer the men of Yehuda. Vayomer, Esther Yados Liba Melech. I am 10 times greater than you for the king. Our taxes are 10 times more. We have 10 times more people. We have more power. The Gamba David. Even in David, we're more loyal to David than you are. Madua kilosani. Why then have you made light of our taina? Loyot bari rishon li lahashiv es malki. Our word was first. We were the first ones to return to our king. Vayikesh dvar ish Yehuda midvar ish Yisrael. But the men of Bnei Yehuda were harsher than the men of Bnei Yisrael, and that is going to be an issue. They now saw this as a little bit of a challenge. Bnei Yisrael versus Bnei Yehuda. They saw that something was up. Now it doesn't take any place yet, but let's see. Shom nikra ish Belial. Okay, there happened to be a very wicked man, Shmo Sheva ben Bichri. His name was Sheva ben Bichri. Remember that name? Ish Yemini ben Yemenite. Vayizkav eshov riblu on the shofar v'yomer, Ein lanu chelek b'David. We have no portion among David HaMelech. Lo nachla lanu b'ven Yishai. We have no inheritance among the ben Yishai. Ish la'ol of Yisrael. Every man backs their tents b'nei Yisrael. We will decide what to do. We are on our own. We no longer are with David HaMelech. Yes.
Where's the Shom?
The Shom there during that fight as they were going around is probably right outside Yerushalayim as the king was crossing over to get to Yerushalayim. That's what's going to happen over here. Okay, now remember, Nathan and Avi had made a prophecy. We always got to remember that prophecy. Sheba ben Bichri held that the person who was going to rebel against the king was going to be someone whose rebellion was going to work. The rebellion was going to be a real rebellion. Avshalom failed. So he wasn't the prophecy. The prophecy is really me. Said Shem ben Bichri. It was for Bat Sheva, right? My name is Sheva. He's ready to go. He is ready to go. By the way, that is what they say. They say that he realized he thought he was the person right over here. He said, everybody go back. It's time to go. By the way, at this point, you see that it's crazy stuff altogether. Seems to be that there were other people that were on Shimon Bichri's side. Immediately, Shimon Ben Gera, who really wasn't totally with David, Shimon Ben Gera went straight to Shimon Ben Bichri and said, I'm on your side. Like, Vayal will see it. Hold on, puzzle base. Vayal, all the Bnei Yisrael, not the Yehuda people, they went after Shimon Ben Bichri. They turned away from David, they went after Shimon Ben Bichri. The Ish Yehuda, Dabku, the Malcolm, and the Yardin, out of Yerushalayim. Yehuda stuck to their king. They went from the Jordan River all the way to Yerushalayim. Okay, so it says, Pasuk Gimel. Yehovah David obeyed. So David came to his house in Yerushalayim. Vayikach Melech his answer Nashim Pelachim. He took his 10 concubines, Asher Niach Lishmo Abayis, that he had given over to watch over his house. Vayina Beis Mishmaris, and he gave them a special house. Vayichal Kolayim, and he supported them. Vaaleim Lobal, but he never was with them for the rest of his life. They were tied until the day that they until the day of his or their death as widows while they were still alive. Now why?
Because
there's a kasha whether Avshalom sleeping with them was considered like he assured them to David HaMelech or not. If he was considered a regular human being and not a king, then he was not allowed to sleep with the concubines, which means that it would be like a Kohen whose wife was raped. A wife raped by a Kohen, the Kohen cannot be married to her anymore.
No, of a Kohen.
Wife of a Kohen. What did I say? Thank you. The wife of a Kohen that is raped can no longer be married to the Kohen.
I wish that was just possible.
Only if she wasn't raped. If you're raped, usually, that means that you're still mutter to your husband. But that's not true by a regular, what's it called? By a regular Kohen, and it's not true by a king if she's raped by a commoner. That's the problem over here. Now, some say that the king could have had beer with them, and it was mutter for him to be together with them because it was a rape, and since Avshalom somewhat had the status of a king. But nonetheless, he did this as a final act of tshuva. That for the next 2 years, remember he's only 68, for the next 2 years he would gaze at their beauty, he'd have his yetzer hara, and he would say, no, I took a woman that I shouldn't have taken, so now my wives were taken away from me.
And aren't you not allowed to test yourself like that? Maybe he's not really testing himself because he's allowed to.
Governor Melech is different. That's the one person who's different. Somebody on his level has the ability to do that. Yes, normal people cannot. Normal people don't have 18 wives either. But nonetheless, Governor Melech was able to do so. Sorry, what were you going to say, David?
I said he still had only other wives. So
yeah, that's it.
Not so much to test, but not really.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've never had 18 or 10. You know what? Let's not talk about this anymore before I get in trouble. But Yomer HaMelech HaMatzo.
On your website, probably.
This stuff? Yeah, it does.
No, your wife.
Although it does. Because she doesn't listen to my Navi Shira, though. She's a girl. They don't learn Navi.
Sure.
Now, Yomer HaMelech HaMatzo. The king said to HaMatzo, Hazik li et ish Yehuda, shloshes yom evatah po amod. Gather for me the men of Yehuda and stand here 3 days from now. Get the men of Yehuda. It's time to fight. Gather me 3 days. 3 days from now, come back to me. It's good stuff. Amasa went to go gather the Bnei Yehuda, and he delayed. He waited. He was given 3 days, right? And he didn't come back in 3 days. 3 days it took all together. Now why? Now Amasa, this seems to be, was Morid B'Malchus. This seems to be Morid B'Malchus all together. Nonetheless, Amasa had a svara. He saw that all the people that he was supposed to gather had been sitting in the base medrash learning. He didn't want to disturb them. He waited for them to finish the sugyas they were learning, and it took 4 days for them to finish the sugyas. So although Amasa wanted to do what he was supposed to do, he held that you couldn't gather the people that were there while they were learning Torah. Now he was wrong.
Yeah,
you know why he was wrong. You know why he was wrong? He darshaned the word rak. He understood the word rak, resh kuf, which means only, to refer to certain types of abilities. Meaning, if you're going to gather, you're allowed to do everything the king says. Rak, when it comes to Torah, Torah outstrips what the king says for you to do.
That's the Gemara Megillah, right?
Yeah, that is correct. That is correct. That is 100% correct. Gam and Rak. David HaMelech held differently. David HaMelech held, no, I make a rule. I don't care if they're learning. You listen to the king.
And he's right.
And that's how we pasca. Amasa was wrong in his Pesach Halacha. But here David HaAvishai. David said to Avishai, Ato Yira Lanu Shem Nebichon Yinav Shalom. Now David HaMelech had no idea why Amasa wasn't bringing the troops. Amasa, right, is bringing the troops. He's going all around, right? But he had no idea that Amasa was doing anything. He thought that Amasa had defected to Shavuot and Bifri. That's what he thought.
Amasa, so after 3 days, didn't think of going to David and telling him. They're in the middle.
That's what we call. But
he
did it.
He could kill him for not deserving.
I guess the reason why, maybe you're right, because David HaMelech did not act like a king in some ways. He didn't act that way. He did not act, you know, so strongly toward the end of his life. David said to Avishai, now Shem Bichri is doing worse than Avshalom. I told Kakas Avdi Adonecha, take the servants of your master, who were Dov Bakarov, and Matzlo Arm Bitsuru to Hitzalinenu. Go chase after Shem Bichri, he told Avishai to Tsuria. Go chase after him. He might find fortified cities. He's going to get away from our eyes. Find Shem Bichri now. before he's able to escape,
what
we'll never
find.
Doing
that was so bad, because it doesn't sound like he's really... No, I'm saying, what was he doing that? He's worse than Avshalom, we must...
He thought Amasa was defecting. He didn't know where Amasa was.
Oh, no, he wasn't talking about Sheva ben Bichri. He was saying Amasa's the one.
Sending a person after Sheva ben Bichri.
Yeah.
He doesn't know where Amasa is. He thinks Amasa is just defected to Sheva ben Bichri's side.
Oh.
So he says to Abishai, go after Sheva ben Bichri now. Kill him now before everybody's on his side.
Okay,
we don't
fine.
Want this worse.
No.
And the men of Yoav went after him, that crazy about Palesi. And all of the crazy in the place, that means all of Sanhedrin. The Cholakibor and all the strong men, the Yisrael, Mishalim, the Lutav, Akhori, Sheva ben Bichri. They all went after Sheva ben Bichri. They were ready to go. They were worried about what was going to happen if they didn't get it right now. Haim, Ima, Evan, Agadolua, I should be giving out. They were right near the great stone that was by Gibeon. The Amasa, Bolivam, Amasa, right, came in front of them. The Yoav, Chagur Mido Levusho. Yoav was wearing his long cloak. The Lov Chagur, Kereb Mitzumedes Al Masnov, Mistarav, Uyatavatipol. Oh my gosh, it's crazy. So he was wearing on it, right, he had a cloak, a sword with sheath, in its sheath, right around Mitara, in its regular thing. He had it always there. Whenever it came out, people died. Whatever came out. So again, Amasa came to the area where they were. Like Yoav and Abishai got the army together. They ran after something. And Amasa comes there and he's like, all right, guys, what are we doing? What are we doing? So that's what ended up happening. Once they got there, Amasa was right there. Now, Amasa was against, he was Morid the Malchus. That's how Yoav paskins, and it's very possible that he's 100% right. Now Yoav, when it says he had a sword to his waist, remember, he was an Av Bezdin as well. He was paskining. He was paskining. The meaning of the sword was he paskined Misa upon Amasa. And that's the idea behind it, and that's what it's referring to over here. Vayomer Yoav Amasa, Shalom Ata Achi, are you well, my brother? Matokas Yad Yamin Yoav, Biskan Amasa Lin Shaklo. And the right hand of Yoav went to Amasa's beard to bring him close to kiss him. Amasa will nishmar b'cher b'sher b'yad Yoav. Amasa did not watch out for the sword that was in Yoav's hand. V'yakeyu ba'elachomesh. And Yoav nailed him in the fifth rib. V'yishbok me'av arza. His innards fell to the ground. V'lo shamelo. Right? He didn't have to strike him again. V'yamos. He died immediately. V'yoav v'abishai ochi. V'rodav v'acharei shavim v'chui. And then Yoav and Abishai, they chased after Sheva ben Bichri. Now Yoav, number one, held that it was Morid the Malchus. But that wasn't the real reason why Yoav killed him. The real reason why Yoav killed him is because he took over his position as general of the army. That's what ended up happening over here. That's the idea of what had happened over here. Amasa was a fool. How could he have realized that Yoav, his enemy, the one that he had just taken the generalship from, how could he have not realized by what was going on over here?
He's not a very good general then if he wasn't wrong.
I'm sorry?
He didn't seem like a very good general. He fell for Yoav. Somebody...
No, yeah. Clearly, but I mean, maybe, I don't know. It's very, very strange. Either way, Yoav, without a question, he hated him whatsoever, but there are those who say that the reason why he killed him was because of Lashon Hara. What had happened over here? Others had heard David say, right, you will be the commander of my army instead of Yoav. And then somebody went and told Yoav those exact words. Yoav was not around at the time. If there was no Lashon Hara, Yoav may have never found out what he had said. He might not have said whatsoever. Because of this, because of the slander that he had said, thus he ended up being taken down altogether. There's a famous line that happened over here. You guys might have heard it over here. Yoav asked Amasa about a Torah law. He says, how does an amputee who has no hands, how does she hand over the get when he has no hands? The Abner, remember, was the one with chalitza. How do you do a chalitza without any arms? And Abner bent down to show how you undo the shoe with your teeth. Right? Here he said, how do you do it? So the way you go is, instead of doing it with the hands, you have to extend your hip. You have to move your hip over. The get is attached to the hip, and the woman has to be put inside the hip, right? And that's the way it's supposed to do. When he was trying to do it, and Amasa was trying to show how it did, that's when Yoav immediately struck him in the ribs right over there. It's very similar to what he had done with Avner whatsoever. Okay, so here we go. The Ish Amad Olav, I'm sorry? Yeah, very, very quickly. The Ish Amad Olav Minara Yoav, a man stood up from the children of Yoav, a Yomer Miyasher Chopitz B'Yoav. Okay, so who is the one that desires Yoav? Amir shel David acharei Yoav. And who is the one that is on David's side? Whoever favors Yoav is for David. Let him follow David whatsoever. Okay, so that's the man who said it. In other words, called out to Amasa's men. Amasa's men were sitting there like, what? Did Yoav just kill Amasa? All the people were like that. But they ran. A guy from Yoav said, if you're with Yoav, then come with me right now. You're with David HaMelech. So Amasa means Golob Adam Misoch HaMesilo. Amasa rolled around in his own blood around that area. They are ish ki aman kol ha'am v'yashtev v'zamasim v'mesilo atzodah v'yashtev v'beged kasharo kol ha'bolo v'amad. Right? So what ended up happening was, while he was sitting over there, the men saw that all the people had stopped. They moved Amasa off to the high road in the field. They threw a cover over him. Right? Because everybody else was stopping and saying, who was that? Who was that? Who's dead? And they kept saying there was Amasa. So they kept doing it until they were there. I would assume that most people didn't know that Amasa was killed. That would make the most sense. They didn't know until after whatsoever. I'm trying to figure it out. Again, David Melech said nothing. He didn't say anything when Abner was killed. He didn't say anything when Amasa was killed. He said nothing to Yoav. Kasher Hoga Mina Mesila, once he was removed from the real road, of our Kol Yishak where Yoav, everybody went after Yoav, their Dov HaKol Yishak Mebechri to go after Shem Mebechri. The Avro Chodesh Yisrael Mela, they went by all of the tribes of Israel, to Avo Beismach, Avo Chol Beirim, by Kualu Vevo Abagrav, and they went everywhere. Because again, Shem Mebechri could have been anywhere by this point. They chased after him everywhere to go find out exactly where they were going. They went all over. They were swift and quick messengers who were going all over trying to say, whoever is going to help Shem Mebechri is going to be punished. In case that's what ended up happening over here. By Avo, by Yitzuru Allah Ba'Avela, they came, they trapped him near Avela, Beis Hamakla, near Beis Hamakla, Yishbaku Sola Elahir. So they poured a mound of earth against the city, Vatamud Bachel, and they brought up their army. Isn't that really cool? It really is cool. I don't want to be that first guy who pours a little bit of dirt on there. But they kept pouring dirt and dirt and dirt and dirt until they were able to just climb their way into the walls of the city itself. It says, all the people that were Yoav were ready to destroy the entire city. They were sitting right over there because Shem and Bichri was rebellious. They were allowed to siege the city even though this was 100% a Jewish city. There shouldn't have been any reason why they were there. This, by the way, is where they went. If you look right over here, everybody look over here, Yerushalayim to Givon to Shechem. They went all the way up. This is where they were getting Havel, Beis Macha, all the way up by what is now known as Lebanon. Right near the Har HaKermon. That's where they went up, all the way over there. Okay, so that's that. That's the first thing over here. So it says, "Vatikra isha chachama mina here." There was a wise woman in the city. Shimu shimurimu nal Yoav. Hear, hear. I ask you to speak to Yoav. Krab adhein avadabre lecha. Come closer, Yoav, that I can speak with you. Vayikra lecha. Okay, so he came closer. Vatomer Ishan, the woman said, Ata Yoav, are you Yoav? Vayomer Ani, and he said, I am. Vatomer lo, Shma, Dibri Amasecha, listen to the words of your maidservant, Vayomer Shomei Anochi. And he said, I'm ready to hear. Okay? Does anybody know who this woman was?
No, I was about to ask the mentor for sure. I almost identified.
Of course. She's an old woman. She is an old woman.
Sarah Bas Usher.
That is correct. Sarah Bas Usher, the daughter of Yaakov's son Usher. She lived an extremely long time. Okay? This shows that she was really, she was an astute person. She understood what was going on, as well as the fact that she knew how to be able to paskin a halacha. Batomerle, when she said, saying, Dabar Yidizim paskin dikhas. First, they should have spoken saying, right? Let them ask of Abel, and then they would have concluded the matter whatsoever. Number one, she said, why didn't you offer us peace? Had you offered us peace, we wouldn't have fought. Had he said to us, will you make peace with us, we would have said it. We would 100% do it. Number two, they were saying, he was referring to the people of Shem ben Bichri. Shem ben Bichri stole his way into the city and is hiding among us. We didn't want him inside here. They took over the city. It has nothing to do with us. Anochi Shmumi Amuni Yisrael. Listen, I am loyal and faithful to Bnei Yisrael. Why are you trying to destroy all the people of Bnei Yisrael? She said, yeah.
Following orders.
There's no question.
We have to get rid of Shevach as soon as possible.
So Sarah is saying,
negotiate with someone.
No. That's exactly what you got to do when you go up against a Jewish city, she said. You're supposed to negotiate first and then try to massacre. Don't do that. No, that's not what I wanted. If you think I'm going to swallow up or if I'm going to destroy any part of Yisrael, that's not true. There was a man from Arafayim, his name is Shem ben Bichri. David, he put his hand upon the king David. Just give him over. I'll go away from the city. His head will be thrown to you from outside the wall. His halacha. If a person goes up against the city and says, send out one man, any man you want, but send out one man and that person is going to be the one that's killed, you may not send anybody outside the city. Can't send anybody out. That's the halacha. You can't send one man out. That can't be it. If they ask for one specific person, you're allowed to send out that specific person, and we learn it from right here. Here's what we learn. They asked to be over here, and there was no reason for that. So that's that. Oh, and they asked for the man, didn't they? Yeah, he was trying to get around you. He was trying to say. And by the way, that wasn't a city. That was just one guy. I don't think it was Ben Halacha. All right, let's finish off the parak over here. It says, the woman approached all the people in her wisdom. They cut off the head of Shem ben Bichri. They threw it to Yoav. He blew on the shofar. Everybody went back. And Yoav went back to Yerushalayim, to the king itself. Okay, that's that itself. Okay, he goes through the whole halachos over here. Everything goes through the entire idea. Now Yoav was still in charge of the army of Israel. And the person that was in charge of Sanhedrin was Benioh ben Yodada. So now we're going through who he had in charge. Adoram Alamas. Adoram was in charge of taxes. Yoshavet ben Achiv Ulamaskir, he was the secretary. Shva Sofer, he was the book guy. Sadek Bev Yasser were the Kohen and Gedolim. Gam Irai Iri Hakohen LeDavid, and Irai Iri was the Rebbe of David HaMelech. He was the head of the entire state, and that's the idea behind it. He was the person. He was a very prominent Talmud Chacham. Others say that Irai Iri is Hushai HaArki. Remember Hushai HaArki? He's the one that went to Absalom and gave him bad advice. So he is that person. Hushai HaArki is Irai Iri. He was one of the Rebbeim of David HaMelech, and that's what it was altogether. Okay, guys, we're going to stop with this over here. We're on Tarek Chaf Aleph.